Good morning, everybody. Are you having a good morning so far? Good. Did the worship team do a great job this morning to just lead us into God's presence? You know, it's easy to become familiar and take things for granted. I guess we all do it from time to time, but we are really blessed with so many. Simon says there's so many people who serve us in wonderful ways as the people of God, and worship is one of them. It always hits me as well when all the kids stand here in front of us and then a great team of kids team workers take them outside as well. That is not something that we should never take for granted. So here we are this morning. If you were here last week, then what I want to talk about this morning follows on very much from this series of teaching that we're looking at within the church, all about new identity. It's all about our identity, who we are in Christ. And if you were here last week, I'll just take a moment just to bring you up to speed as to what I was speaking on last week. Had this idea that our original identity, when God created man and woman, was perfect. It was like a palace tent. And I got these two images that were... So one is of this amazing, wonderful palace-type tent, and that symbolizes or illustrates for us how originally our identity was. And the reason we use a tent is because we're saying that it's like we're being in something. So we're going to talk about being in Christ. And of course, it's difficult to find an image for that exactly. But what we're saying is our original identity was this glorious palace tent. Then because of the fall, because of man's disobedience, because of Adam's disobedience, we end up in this grubby kind of tent. And if you're a human being, then we can't escape it. That's the way that that's what we are naturally born into, this grubby, less than pleasant looking tent. In fact, is that the kind of tent that some people used to go on, boy, sky, girl, guy, hopefully not. But that's the kind of image, if you get what I'm saying. But then we said, of course, those who become Christians, that as we are saved, it's like our identity is not only back to our original identity, it's even better than our original identity, because we are then, the Bible talks about us being in Christ. And we said last week that if you ask the Apostle Paul how he would best describe or define what a Christian looks like, then we said that most people would say that he would say, in Christ is that thing. It's wonderful. It's glorious. And why are we talking about all this? Well, we said what we think about ourselves really matters. It's foundational. It's fundamental to who we are. We have to get hold of it. And we said that who we are, the reason it's important is because who we are affects our behavior, which in turn determines our destiny. And so often we try and adjust our behavior, we try and tweak our behavior, and yet we haven't fully got hold of who we are in Christ, which affects our behavior and then determines our destiny. Who wants best destiny for our lives? Some of us. All of us, I know. So today and over the next few weeks, we're going to look at six truths which are linked to our identity in Christ. And I said last week as well, no apologies, but those of you who are on the Freedom in Christ course, this will work nicely alongside. You'll hear things that make sense that you've heard before. And you'll also, for those of you who are on it now, there's a few things which we'll look ahead to. So the next few weeks, we're going to look at six truths that actually were as a result of our fallen identity, which are turned around, which are transformed, which are made new as we understand that our identity is in Christ. And today, I'm going to be looking at the truth which says, I'm new. Let's say that together, I'm new. It's good news. Okay, so today looking at I'm new, or you could say new birth. And you may have heard people talk about this phrase, born again. The Bible talks about regeneration. So it's that's actually the words that are, if you translate it accurately, I understand that we're talking about something that is regenerated, something that is new. And sometimes called Born Again. Now, 11 years ago this week, there was new birth in our house. And so this week was a celebration week because a little girl, I think you can tell that's a girl. Sometimes I look at babies and I'm not always totally sure. But this one is definitely a girl. I can confirm that. And Lauren arrived literally new birth in our house. The midwife had persuaded Claire that home delivery was a good idea. I wasn't too sure because when Joel arrived, he came very quick. And I heard people talking and they tell me that children often come even quicker. And I was a bit concerned that Lauren was going to arrive before the midwife, which wasn't a situation that I was really wanting to embrace or look forward to. But thankfully, we did things in the right order. Midwife arrived first, Lauren arrived second. And I don't know about you parents, particularly fathers, but you get some information around this kind of time, which is useful for some people in the room this morning. Just before we move on, if you are potentially going to enter into fatherhood at some point, I found some very quick, helpful hints. Now, these are things that husbands should not say to their wives. Okay, it's very important. Here's just a few handy hints. One of them is, wow, I sure wish men could experience the miracle of childbirth. Don't say that. If you think this hurts, I should tell you about the time I twisted my ankle playing squash. Don't say that. That was the kids on the phone. Did you have anything planned for dinner? Don't say that. And finally, you don't need an epidural. Just relax and enjoy the moment. It's not like real pain. It's not like real pain, okay? Well, perhaps that's all right, or perhaps don't say that either. But whether we've seen a new birth or not, I think you'll agree that the fact that we're all here today, we've all been born physically. Is there anyone here today who hasn't been born physically? Just checking. So we've all been born naturally, but to be born spiritually, we have to be born again. Jesus is very clear on this. You'll know the story, many of you, talking to Nicodemus. And Jesus is really super strong on what this means. Jesus replied, "Truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at me saying, you must be born again." And some people use this term born again Christian, don't they? How many people have heard people just talk about born again Christians? Now, that phrase in itself sounds, it kind of implies that there's different types of Christians, doesn't it? You know, you've got born again Christians and then you've got another type of Christian. Well, the truth is, there is only one type of Christian. You have to be born again. Well, and you say, well, can I not just be a Christian just by trying harder? No, you can't become a Christian by trying harder, just trying to be good. And often, I've heard people talk about it, there's this misconception that when I became a Christian, I started to try and be a bit of a better person. I tried to behave a bit better. I tried to remember to do good things more. Well, okay, that's great. That might be the outworking. But actually, the truth is that you cannot become a Christian unless you are born again. It's a miracle. It's like the old grubby tent to the new in Christ situation. It's like a new creation. We are born again. And this morning, there's three things that I want us to look at that relate to being born again. And I want us to look at these in the first person. Those of you who've been around for a while will know that one of the really helpful things to do is sometimes to speak some of this stuff out. So I'm going to speak as if we are in the first person. So I'm going to be saying things like, this is what I am. So hopefully that we get a hold of it and begin to believe it today, begin to believe the truth. And at the end of our meeting this morning, I want to declare some stuff. So I'm just warning you so that you're ready to join in with some declaration. In fact, let's practice that. Actually, let's practice that with the first one. So I'm going to look at three things: resurrection, creation, victory. So, resurrection. Let's Can we have the next slide, John? So let's say this together. In Christ, I am alive, raised up, and reigning. Being in Christ is nothing less than being raised from the dead. Now, it's easy to get confused in the same way that Nicodemus did, of course, because if you look around, most of us would agree that we're actually not dead. It feels like we're kind of alive. But the truth is that if we're outside of Christ, we are spiritually dead. Now, one day we're going to be physically raised from the dead when Jesus comes back. But right now, if we're not in Christ, we are spiritually dead. That's the truth. Ephesians 2 verse 1 says, we are dead in our transgressions and sins. And same point I just made. Sometimes we kind of think, well, I'm not that bad. I'm living a pretty good life. I've not murdered anyone. I've not stolen anything major. I've been kind to people. But the truth is that outside of Christ, we are spiritually dead. And dead is really dead. It's not black and white, is it, death? It's kind of pretty clear. You can't be, it's not a grey area, death, is it? It's, you're either dead or you're not dead. And the Bible says that outside of Christ, we are spiritually dead. And that's why we need Christ. It's an aside. We need Christ, but also those people around us desperately need Christ, don't they? And I don't know about you, but sometimes I find this distorts my thinking a little bit, because I kind of think if I look at what happened when I became a Christian, I don't have an amazing story about how there was all this stuff in my life and then I became a Christian. Most of us, or some of us, have a story where it feels like I became a Christian and perhaps life got a little bit better. That's kind of the way I look at it sometimes. I think, well, you know, this was the old Matt and then the new Matt and things got a little bit better. But the truth is, the reality is, that when I became a Christian, I was dead and now I'm alive in Christ. It's black and white. That is what actually happened. And that's what happened for you as well, if you've made that decision. And this morning, it's worth saying that if you are not sure if you've been born again, well, you can be and you must be if you want to be a child of God, if you want to be a Christian. And we can do that together this morning. That would be good, wouldn't it? And actually, when we were spiritually dead, but then we become spiritually alive, and it makes a huge difference. It's actually a miracle. We've been singing the song the last few weeks that talks about the same power. Do you remember that song? The same power. It says, King forever, Jesus Christ, crowned in glory, raised to life. The same power lives in us. And, you know, you might like that song. You might not like that song. I don't know. It's a good one, so I'd be surprised if you didn't. But it's not just a nice phrase we sing. It's based on deep biblical truth. Guess where it comes from? Ephesians 1. Something that, as a church, we've been looking at, particularly in January, in Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 2. Paul's praying for his readers that they might get a revelation about their calling and their inheritance. Then he goes on to pray that they get a revelation and they might see how great the power of God is that's available for those who believe in Christ. Then he goes on, though, that's not enough, helpfully, to explain what this power is actually like. It's actually the same power that worked in Christ when he was raised from the dead. What happened? Jesus was raised from the dead, seated far above all principalities and powers, that same death-conquering, sin-destroying, demon-defeating power that raised Christ from the dead is the same power that lives in us. That is good news. That is good news. And just to underline it, Ephesians 2 says this, but God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, there we go, there we are, dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms. Why? Because we are united with Christ Jesus. So just pause for a moment. Jesus was dead, lay physically dead in the tomb. And in the same way that Christ was dead, Jesus was dead, so we're spiritually dead. Then on the Easter Sunday morning, the resurrection power of the Holy Spirit came into Jesus' dead body, raised him up, made him alive. And that same power, 40 days later, caused him to be raised up to be with the Father. Where did Jesus go? The Bible says he is now seated. Where is that? The right hand of the Father, which is far above all principalities, powers, and evil things. Seated in the Bible means finished, complete. Jesus sat down, everything was finished. Jesus accomplished everything that needed to be done. And that's great just because of who Jesus is. But what's even more amazing is because we are in Christ, it means that Jesus was raised up to the right hand of the Father. We're also, therefore, raised up to the right hand of the Father. So if you're raised up, seated at the right hand of the Father, and it's the same power that raised Christ from his physical death that's raised us up, where do we live now? In heavenly, the answer, in heavenly places with Christ. The problem is, of course, we think in physical terms. So you say, no, Matt, I don't live in heavenly places. I live in South Normanton. I live in Kirkby. I live in Annesley. I live in Sutton. I live somewhere else. But the truth is, now you have two addresses. One is that one with an earthly postcode, and the other is we're a citizen of heaven. This hit me a few, probably 6 months ago. I'd never really quite thought about it. But actually, if you think about the big picture, this is pretty cool news, isn't it? We are seated with Christ. And this isn't something that's going to happen. This is something that's happening right now. It's not just nice. This is true. So, if you're a child of God, spiritually, you're in a new place. Raised up, seated and reigning in heavenly places with Christ, far above all things. So this is a picture of resurrection through new birth, being born again. So that's the first thing. Good news. Seated, reigning in heavenly places. Does anybody feel good about that? Number two, in Christ, I'm a new creation, God's masterpiece. London businessman Lindsay Clegg told a story of a warehouse property he was selling. The building had been empty for months and needed repairs. Vandals had been in, damaged the doors, smashed the windows and thrown rubbish around. As Clegg showed a prospective buyer around, he took pains to say he would bring in a crew to repair any structural damage and tidy up the rubbish. Forget about the repairs, the buyer said. When I buy this place, I'm going to build something completely different and new. I don't want the building, I just want the site. Before we're in Christ, I guess most of us would agree that the stuff in our lives, which is perhaps a bit of rubbish, perhaps a bit of a mess, perhaps windows that are broken a little bit, perhaps things that are structurally not very clever. And I don't know about you, but I sometimes think that when I become a Christian, God's going to come in, he's going to do a bit of DIY, he's going to smarten things up a bit, he's going to change things a little bit, a few improvements, bit of B&Q, a few visits to B&Q. But the Bible says that before Christ, our state was so bad that it couldn't just be fixed up. And what we actually need is new creation. So in the same way that God created the first man and the woman, how did he do that? It was a miracle. It wasn't, don't listen to what the evolutionists say. God did it. It was a miracle. It was creation. If we're in Christ, the reality is another creative miracle takes place. So when you become a Christian, there is a sense of restoration. There is a sense of some things being restored. But the New Testament describes what is taking place as a new creation in our lives. The Old Testament Hebrew word is bara, which literally means making something out of nothing. So something didn't exist, and now it exists. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is what? A new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. I was just looking for some pinch someone's water. Jess, can I have your water? Thanks. So let's pause for a minute. One of the best things we can do with a scripture like this is just to think about it for a moment. Because if you're like me, someone puts a scripture up on the thing. Yeah, scripture. How do we get hold of it? How does it land? But just think about this for a moment. You know, people say that the first sign of madness is talking to yourself. How many people in this room are mad? We're all one. There's a lot of us that are mad. Okay, perhaps that's a definition of what we are as church. But I kind of think that actually, in a kingdom point of view, the first sign of spiritual sanity is talking to yourself. And some of this stuff, if you get the opportunity to talk this stuff to yourself, then actually I think we flip round the madness and actually it becomes the most sensible thing that we can do. So don't let anyone tell you that this is madness. Although there's a few people in my family who think I'm mad. Sort of think about this for a moment. So, therefore, if anyone is in Christ. Well, how many people this morning are in Christ? Okay, well, that's me, that's me, that's you. So therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he, she is what? A new creation. So something has changed. The old has gone. The new has come. The rebellious former Matt Bell has gone. Something new has happened. Something's changed. And now I'm a new creation. Say, I'm new. I'm new. That is good news. Do you feel new today? Dave does. But the truth is, whether you feel new today, the truth is you're a new creation if you're in Christ. That's pretty good. Tell yourself, I'm a new creation. I'm a new creation. I'm new. The reality is, if you get hold of this, if I get hold of this, if I know that I'm a new creation, then some of the stuff that I think about myself actually has to line up with what is really true. Another important verse, Ephesians 2 verse 10, we just read something out of Ephesians, says this, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus. Last week, we talked about creation and we said God made animals, birds, stars, stuff. And he said it was good. Then he made man and he said it was very good. We are the high point of God's creation. I don't know about you, we went for a walk in Derbyshire yesterday. God's creation is pretty impressive. There's some pretty amazing stuff out there. Climb the mountain, taking the height, taking the depth of all creation. Wow, it's incredible. But what's the crowning piece of God's creation? Ta-da! You, me. You're not all convinced, are you? What do you prefer, the mountain or you? Are you sure? What's a masterpiece? Described as the crowning work of a person's achievements. So God now doesn't just say very good, he says, wow, masterpiece. That's cool. God thinks, refashioned, reborn in the likeness of my son. I don't know what you think about yourself, but if you get this stuff inside your brain, it starts to change you. You are something new. You are God's handiwork, his masterpiece. The more you see yourself like this, it changes the way you live. You're not a worthless person, you're God's masterpiece. That's cool. This isn't just preachy stuff, this is true. I know preachy stuff's true, but take a hold of it. Paul, masterpiece. Did you know that? I think I've got 10 minutes to just go around the room and just say masterpiece to everybody. Or perhaps, in the interest of time, you could just say to yourself, I'm a masterpiece. There you go, we saved 10 minutes. It's true, you're a masterpiece. Hard to believe sometimes. People talk about Monday mornings being the difficult time to believe stuff. I don't know whether Monday morning is your most difficult time to believe that you're a masterpiece. And the real challenge for some of us is to look in the mirror and still say it. I'm not saying that because I'm looking at you and I've got some revelation. I'm just telling you because I know that's what happens with us. I kind of think I've got a reasonably healthy view of how God sees me, but there's times when I haven't got a hold of this properly. So this morning, I'm preaching to myself. We've got to get hold of this, that we are new creations, God's masterpiece. Say, I'm new. It's true. So in Christ, we're alive, raised up and reigning. In Christ, we are new creations, God's masterpiece. And if you get hold of those two, what's the practical outworking of that? What difference does it make? Okay, well, there's probably a few things that happen. There's probably a few things that change. But my third point this morning is that in Christ, I am an overcomer. So if we get hold of the truth of who we are in Christ, it starts to make a difference, starts to change the way that we think, but also starts to change the way that we behave as well. We move from resurrection to new creation, then to overcoming, then to victory. Who wants to live in victory? John 5:4 says, "For everyone born of God," or you could say in Christ, "overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith." There's something happens that when we are in Christ that means that we can overcome. Ephesians 2 says, we just read, As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us who lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature or flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Perhaps go away and think about this sometime this week, but just very quickly, outside of Christ, if we're not in Christ, we live in spiritual defeat. That's what has to happen. We can't live in victory because we're outside of Christ. And the Bible talks about being defeated by three enemies. This is freedom in Christ stuff. It talks about the world, the flesh, and the devil. Now the great news is because we are alive, raised up, reigning, seated with Christ in heavenly places, new creation. We've got the same power that raised Jesus from the dead living inside of us. Now, instead of being overcome, we can be overcomers. And these three things perhaps take a moment to get our heads round. But how do we overcome? Because just then, we just read it, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. Now, we're not talking about physical world domination. But when we talk about the world, we're talking about the anti-God system, the culture, the selfish way that our world lives. I think if we think about it, our world lives very anti-God. It's very anti-God. Our society is naturally anti-God. Is that right? Everywhere you look, everything you read, everything you see is anti-God. It's a different value system. But now, because we're born in God, we don't have to come under that anti-God system. We can overcome. We can overcome the world. Why? Because we're in Christ. Secondly, we can overcome what the Bible calls the flesh, which isn't our, it's not our body, it's the part of us that rebels against God. It's the part of us that naturally wants to incline itself towards the stuff that happened before, at the fall, basically. So, before I became a Christian, even if I want to stop sinning, I can't because I have no power to do it. But now, under the new creation, a brand new person, I have the power to do something about it. The promise that John says in those words says, no one born of God will continue to sin. Now, he's not saying that Christians won't sin. And earlier in the letter, if you read the whole thing, he's saying that we will still sin and we can be forgiven. But what it's saying is the normal state for a Christian is not to sin. Whereas before, the old state, our natural state, is to sin. How many people found it easy to sin? We don't need a lesson on that, do we? It's straightforward, it's natural, it's our natural inclination. But this is good news. John is saying that the normal state of a Christian is to not sin. And if that's true, and I think it is true, then perhaps we don't see ourselves anymore as a sinner, but we see ourselves as people who sin, which is actually quite different. Because if the truth is that we are not no longer sinners, because we are new creations, a masterpiece, then we can start to live differently. It's freedom. So overcome the world, overcome the flesh, and finally, overcome the devil. Well, we said before, where are we seated? Where are you and I seated? What's our other address? We're in Christ. We're in heavenly places. Well, where's that? Over all things. 1 John 4 says, you, dear children, are from God. So we're born of God. Something's changed. And have overcome them. And the reason that we overcome is because we have someone living in us. And this is probably one of the greatest scriptures to get a hold of. The reason that we can overcome the devil is why? Because there's someone living in us. Greater is he that lives in me than he that lives in the world. So when someone becomes a Christian or born again, you don't have to wait to get a new body. This is all available from day one. We are now alive. We're now raised up. We're now reigning. We are now God's new creation. And talked about the importance of speaking it out. You remember in the wilderness when the devil comes to tempt Jesus and put some things in front of him. What does Jesus do? He speaks something out. He didn't just will the devil away or wish him away, or he speaks it out. And of course, Jesus was the Son of God, but he's our example as well. I start to finish what I want to say this morning. The way that we overcome is by speaking things out. It's by speaking out truth. Ephesians talks about spiritual weapons, the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, the truth. It's what we use to declare, overcome. So rather than speaking or thinking I'm a bit useless, I'm a bit worthless, we come against it by speaking the truth. What's the truth? In Christ, I'm alive, raised up, reigning. New creation, God's masterpiece. And as we start to line ourselves up with who we are in Christ, it causes us to live in the reality of who we are, not in the physical realm, but in the spiritual realm. Okay, so, can you push it on to the end, Jono? So if you're up for it, I want us to do some declaring this morning. Is that all right? And as we declare these things together, I'm praying that Holy Spirit, Spirit of wisdom and revelation, will cause these things to land in our hearts. The more I've spent time thinking about this stuff, it reminds me that I've got a bit of a way to go, but it's good news. As Dwayne said, we're working on it. And the great thing about truth is, it's true. Whether we believe it or not. The reality is, us believing it is going to be pretty helpful for us getting a hold of these things. And right now, this morning, Claire's mentioned it, we might be here with all kinds of circumstances, situations, and you kind of saying, well, how does this stuff help me where I am today with this situation, with this issue, with this faith challenge, with the person in my life who's got a health problem or financial crisis, or, well, if we know this stuff, we see the bigger picture. It doesn't make everything go away, doesn't make everything easy. Let's not pretend that that's going to happen or that's the case. But somehow, in the light of the fact that we are alive, raised up, reigning, God's masterpiece, transforms, renews, changes our minds, causes us to see the bigger picture of our destiny and who we are in Jesus. And I don't know about you, but I find it quite difficult a lot of the time. This physical stuff is always there. The spiritual stuff I don't see quite as clearly yet. But this morning, if there's two realities, the physical and the spiritual, let's make sure that we align ourselves with what Jesus says, what God says about us. So, what can we stand up together? So, had a moment to look at the words. And I know that just saying some words on a Sunday morning in itself doesn't change everything. But actually, if this is the stuff that we're speaking to ourselves on an ongoing basis, then what a difference it could make. What a difference it does make. And of course, we're a people who aren't just interested in ourselves or one another. We're interested in those around us who need to know this truth too. And what happens is the more you get to hold of this truth for yourself, that you're God's masterpiece, the more you see people around who don't believe that they're God's masterpiece, the more you see people around who don't realize that there's an opportunity to connect with the living God, don't realize that they are spiritually dead. It's not just they're just not quite right. They're spiritually dead. Dead is dead. It's bad news. It's really bad news. But that's what makes the good news so good. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be part of a bland, beige message that isn't true. I want to be making sure that the message I have for salvation is really the whole package. It's the whole, it's all of the good news. It's not just a bit of it. When I got saved, I was transformed. I was changed. It wasn't that Jesus has made things a little bit better. Didn't mean that my Sunday mornings are now busier than they were before. Didn't just mean that 10% of what I earn goes to the kingdom of God. It wasn't just that. It was that I was dead and now I'm alive. Spiritually alive, connected with my Father God. So let's declare this together. I'm going to say it. We're going to do it twice. Let's do it all the way through twice. Speak it out confidently. Take hold of the truth and these words. So, in Christ I am and reigning. In Christ I am a new creation, God's masterpiece. In Christ I am an overcomer. Let's do it again. In Christ, I am alive, raised up, and reigning. In Christ, I am a new creation, God's masterpiece. In Christ, I am an overcomer. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus.